If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two, bright and early on this Monday morning to start off a new week, live right here on the Early Line. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We thank you for joining us on this Monday morning all across the Spiz Grizz Network. In this second hour, some NFL headlines. It is Combine Week in Indianapolis. The workouts start later this week. The interviews and the press conferences and the measurements, that starts bright and early in Indianapolis. Plenty to discuss in terms of the future of the National Football League. Who will be there? Who will be participating? Who will be working out? And maybe who won't be as well, and what the odds say as we enter the scouting combine in Indy. Some other big NFL headlines as well. And then later on in this second hour, our coach, James Young, JY, joins us here to break down everything around the NBA and college hoops as well. A lot in store in this second hour.
Yes, and a lot in store in Indianapolis. Well, not really. I call it the biggest waste of time in professional sports because it comes down to where you have a general manager that is actually going to go here and be like, you know what? I have thousands of plays and hours of tape on this player. Like, didn't like how I ran that 40 there down there. I don't know if I can draft him here. Or a quarterback who says, you know what? I'm going to throw the football and go, man, this guy was horrendous at throwing the football, throwing all his game tape. Boy, he's throwing to guys on air with nobody covering him. Boy, he looks good. Let me move him up my draft board. The biggest waste of time in sports this week, and we'll watch it, and we'll cover it, and we'll still have some fun with it.
But we like it, and it is a ton of fun in my estimation. It is a chance and an opportunity, DRS, during Combine Week to put together the measurables and the workouts to match that up with the tape to start that true draft evaluation process around the NFL. If you strictly use the Combine, of course, you are doing a bad job. But can it be a part of the conversation? Certainly so. But always trust what your eyes see on tape. Some big news, though, DRS, over the weekend. In terms of Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles, you and I were discussing this late last week. The idea, would Matthew Stafford play somewhere else in 2025? Would he actually not return to the Rams? Because outside of his wife on her podcast and some small speculation from Adam Schefter due to his brother-in-law, Chad Hall, signing as the assistant quarterbacks coach in New York with the Giants, there wasn't actually any reporting that Matthew Stafford was unhappy with the Rams, that he was looking to part ways, anything of the sort. Well, we got this report over the weekend. The Rams have given permission for Matthew Stafford's agent to speak with other teams about his value. This is not a trade request. Instead, the Rams and Stafford can gain a better understanding of his value outside the team, potentially making it easier to get a contract done. That remains the hope that outside help can assist engaging the market in seeing his value and that this results in his return to LA. It's a weirdly phrased tweet if the idea is just returning to Los Angeles, but Donnie, it turns out that maybe, hand up, I was a little bit short-sighted, that maybe there is actually something brewing here in LA that would have Matthew somewhere else in 2025.
Yeah, we got a lot of liars out here is what we're seeing right now because these are contradicting reports here. What NFL franchise goes, go out, shop around, ask, look, we're not trading you. We just want to find your value. So another general manager, assistant general manager, a capologist, let's just say from the Washington Commanders is going to spend 3 days figuring out the market analysis for the Rams when they should be doing that themselves here. That doesn't make any sense. You don't let your franchise quarterback talk to other teams without actually having interest where if they find out there is a team, like let's just, it's not the Miami Dolphins. I'm just using that as a team here. The Miami Dolphins want to trade for Matthew Stafford and go, oh, you know what? that's actually a little bit too much money for us. And you do give us a first round pick. Okay, you're getting traded here. That all lines up. So I do think they need to build a market for Matthew Stafford. And if they're blown away, they will trade him. But I don't buy this secondary report that goes, hey, Matt, go talk to every team, bring back your best offers, and we'll sign you. No, that's what a general manager is supposed to do by feeling out the market to see what the actual market analysis is from his side of the table. And also get this, it never made any sense from Matthew Stafford to leave Los Angeles, particularly when we're talking about the Giants. But having said that, like, Adam Schefter is not just going to include that little blurb in that original tweet without finding a basis for why that should actually be in there. So if it is the Giants, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, but for that initial tweet here, it doesn't make any sense. And as I said, a lot of people are lying out here on this Matthew Stafford non-trade/trade/ how much am I worth?
That phrasing also by Ian Rappaport. Insiders have sources. They can be in a variety of spots. It could be an agent. It could be a front office exec. Heck, it could be the player itself. But Donnie, the way that that was phrased, that all this is happening because it's all good, man. Don't worry. They're getting back in L.A. The Rams just want to hear, hey, if we can get a third-round pick for Stafford, is it worth giving him a contract bonus? None of that makes sense. That's bad business. Unless the Rams are convinced that Matthew Stafford is going to hear, brother, we're not trading more than a sixth-round pick for you, and we're not giving you a new contract when you get here. So come back to Papa, because here is your contract. Take it or leave it. I don't think that is the relationship, though, in Los Angeles. For a guy that won a Super Bowl in his first year in L.A., seems to have a great rapport with Sean McVay. Maybe a little bit spurned that the Rams are looking to trade Cooper Kupp, but Matthew Stafford, who has been in the NFL now for 16 seasons, is probably understanding that things are a business. All of this seems weird. And then for his personal desire to go to New York, for what? To work alongside your brother-in-law, who you haven't worked with despite the guy being an assistant in the NFL for nearly a decade, to be with a floundering Giants franchise, to lead them to, at best, 7 wins, to have head coach GM and your brother-in-law probably fired for a new regime to come in with an early draft pick, for the Giants' perspective to trade away this chance of a future for a Matthew Stafford who is still performing very well at the end of 16 seasons, but is currently 37 years old? None of it makes sense, except for Matthew Stafford to return to Los Angeles to be a part of a promising franchise that has seen great success together, that has a young and improving defense with one of the best young wide receivers in the game in Puka Nacua. The only thing that makes sense from everybody involved is for Matthew Stafford to be back in L.A., even if that cost the Rams a little bit more. It is all nonsensical in my estimation.
It is. And also for a guy that's been a career dome quarterback, Detroit and LA, he's going to want to go play in the Meadowlands behind a trash offensive line. And also, if you're the Giants, hey, maybe the fans, because they've been beaten down enough, like, man, it's going to be nice that we actually get a true quarterback in here. And then you say, well, hold on, we have a high draft pick. We can get a young quarterback, but we're going to trade away, let's just say, the number three, top five, let's just say a top five draft pick here, and then pay a quarterback $50 million a year with this junk foundation that we have currently right here. It doesn't make any sense. There are some landing spots that make sense for Matthew Stafford. Like, the least landing spot that makes the least amount of sense to me is the Giants. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to go to the Giants. And again, as an Eagle fan, if you're an NFC East fan, you should be screaming like, please make this trade happen. Because you know what it means? That means Joe Shane's going to probably save his job for another year, which hurts the football team. And also, you're never going to find your future quarterback. And by the time, if you do rebuild that roster, Matthew Stafford's 40, aging, and already out of the NFL. What did you do with your time here, Giants? And a horrible decision it would be to make the move for Matthew Stafford.
For the G-men to part ways with draft capital for Matthew Stafford would be so dumb that Joe Shane should be fired on the spot if that happens. And it's not just Matthew Stafford seeing his trade value other areas in the NFL. It might not just be New York. There are many teams, as we have discussed, that need to answer a quarterback question this offseason. The Pittsburgh Steelers, could that be a potential? We're not entirely
sure. That's a fun
one. Why the Rams would do this with a roster that clearly is in win now mode and only improving year over year with a young core makes zero sense. Unless Stafford is just so pissed about Cooper Kupp being dealt that he wants to be traded. I don't consider Matthew Stafford that nearsighted in how he does his NFL career. 16 seasons in the National Football League, 12 in Detroit, four in LA that have featured three playoff bursts when he has been fully healthy, and a Lombardi Trophy. All of it is still very strange. It is Combine Week in Indy. We break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Combine Week in Indianapolis, officially starting today. There will be some interviews and some measurements taken and some press conferences all around Indy. It's not just about working out how fast you run the 40, how high your vertical is, or those specific positional workout groups. It is also about meeting with NFL organizations. It is one place for everybody to meet with basically every top draft prospect that makes their way to Indianapolis, as Donnie has alluded to. If there is an NFL GM, a draft evaluator, or scout, or anybody in the media that solely focuses on Combine Week as the true picture of a prospect, they are leading you astray and they are doing a bad job. It is some of the intangibles that come with the athletic displays we will see at the Combine, but mainly matched up with the tape of what we have seen throughout the collegiate careers of these prospects. Always know that. But with that being said, DRS, a lot will move this week in the odds market and our perception of these prospects, because despite always trying to give the caveat of take what you see at the draft combine with a grain of salt, it always is focused on rather specifically. So we'll see a lot of movement during this combine week.
Oh, we absolutely will. And that's where the smoke screens again begin to intensify of teams that are saying, you know what, we really want to draft this player, but we're not going to have a meeting with them, because if we have a meeting with them, people will think that they're on our draft radar. So I like the week for that. But just per se, from the workout perspective, it doesn't make all that much sense anymore. The pro days are a little bit bigger deal because you get that sort of one-on-one time. You get close to the player. You can watch him do a full 30-minute workout. He's got wide receivers, running backs behind him here that he's used to throwing with. So you get a little bit more of a feel. But I've always said this, like combine week to me, like, and again, if I was the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, we wouldn't send anybody. We'd send not a single person talent scout to the actual combine, because I'd say you have thousands of reps on tape and you probably made hundreds of phone calls to the family, to the individual, to the coaching staff, to friends of the coaching staff, to try to do your due diligence on said player at this point. I just think it's one of those big meetups that you have. You can use the company credit card and get some nice spicy shrimp cocktail, sure, and you go back home. But nobody should be changing any draft boards based on what they see at the combine. Absolutely nobody.
I would agree, DRS. I don't think you need to change your draft board. Yeah. I think it will influence your draft board and the decision, as will those in-person interviews, meeting with a lot of these college kids who you haven't spoken to face-to-face probably ever or very, very frequently. Colorado quarterback and potential top pick Shedeur Sanders plans to focus on his interviews with teams at the NFL Scouting Combine, helping them continue to learn him as a person. He'll allow his 4 years of film to speak loudly, then throw it his pro day in Boulder with four draftable CU wide receivers. Did Deion Sanders type that tweet for Ian Rappaport? Regardless, Shedeur Sanders is planning on not working out at the NFL Combine, not throwing at the NFL Combine, just doing interviews with teams to let them learn about the prospect and player and person that Shedeur Sanders is.
Yeah, it is important that you do get in front of teams and you're able to like speak on certain topics, or they send you up to the chalkboard and they just want to see how well-versed you are at breaking down defenses. That does make a little bit of sense here, because you just want to build that form. Like, hey, you know what? This guy can fit into my city. Looks like a great fit for my team at this point. Or maybe we don't like the way he operates in the pocket, so we want to talk to him about why he did certain things. I understand that. But from my reasoning, if you are, let's just say, Cam Ward / Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, you know you're going probably in the first half of the first round. And if I was an agent, I'm not letting you work out at all at this point, because the only damage you could do, like Cam Ward's a minus 140 price now to be the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. Like, what can he do for stock to hurt it? I don't know. Go out at pro day, tear a hamstring, look like he's disinterested here. Like, if he doesn't even appear until the draft, he's probably going to be the number one overall pick. So unless you're an agent, because, hey, man, my guy's a fourth round that nobody's looking at, I need to have him run the circuit, run as many sprints as possible, get in front of many teams here so he can move from a fourth round draft pick to a second round draft pick. There is something to be said. But when you're already at the top of the heap, You can actually only go lower here. So when I hear people say, like, oh, man, he's not competitive, doesn't want to work out. Like, no. What agent would give you that advice?
Yeah.
It's like if you have a $1 million paycheck coming Friday, it's like the only thing you have to do is stay in your house and not get into an auto wreck. Hey, man, let me take the Lambo out for a couple spins on Tuesday. No, you're not going to do that. Just be smart here. Sit it out. You already put all that hard work in, and watch it come to fruition when you get drafted high end here.
DRS, I think maybe a couple of years ago, there was a thought about that competitive mentality. Now, this is pretty boilerplate. This is pretty standard, of course, especially at the quarterback position. You want to see what real football looks like. Not a guy throwing to wide receivers in shorts against no defense, against air.
Yeah.
You would think that if you're the number one overall pick or in consideration for being a top five selection, a first round pick, heck, an NFL draft pick at all, you would be able to complete those passes with pretty comfortable ease in doing so just because you are throwing on air. Now, we will see Shedeur Sanders throw. We'll probably see Cam Ward throw both at their pro day when you can script everything exactly as you would like it. It is a glorified job interview. Of course, we read into it. But NFL guys want to see how that ball gets off your hand, what exactly that arm strength is like. Do you have the touch in the ease as you do throwing a rocket liner? We'll see, right? That stuff doesn't really move anything whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a time for Shedeur Sanders to speak about his process, how he evaluates film, how he gets ready for games. And I'll have those times with head coaches to look at the whiteboard and say, draw this up, do this. What are you reading? What are you seeing? All that good stuff that comes with the combine as well. To Donnie's point, Cam Ward is still the odds-on favorite to go first overall at minus 140. Then Abdul Carter, the outstanding linebacker-edge-rusher combo out of Penn State, the reigning Heisman winner in Travis Hunter, who will be at the combine listed as a defensive back, it should be noted, and Shedeur Sanders, fourth best price to go first overall at plus 750. Frankly, if I'm the Titans or the Browns, and I am considering a quarterback pick, Ward or Sanders, I want to hear from Shedeur, not his management, not his father. I want to hear from Shedeur. If we draft you, are you coming? Because of some of the reports that have been out there about the Sanders family trying to cherry pick, if you will, his NFL destination.
Yes, exactly. And you get him in a room here, and I'm pretty sure they're all schooled very well from their PR teams, including their father, like Shedeur Sanders. But at the same time, you just want to hear it in their own words at that point. By the way, some people might be looking at the top of that landscape like, Abdul Carter, plus 175 over Travis Hunter. Have you seen the man wreck absolute game plans here from a defensive end, a la Micah Parsons heading into the NFL? I love Abdul Carter, man. Whoever gets him, watch out.
We hope during Combine Week a couple more markets become available. We'll talk more draft next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Combine Week in the National Football League, the very early beginning of the draft process in the NFL. Here is the top 10 of the draft order as we enter Combine Week. Is this going to change? I think there will be some movement, DRS, in the pick order in this draft process. There it is on your screen. No need for me to break it down for you. The Titans, first overall. The Browns, second overall. The Giants, third overall. The Patriots, number four. The Jags at number five. Then the Raiders, Jets, Panthers, Saints, and the Bears round out the top 10. We have already heard from new GM in Tennessee, Mike Borgonzi. That's the Titans' new general manager. That they would be interested in hearing from teams if they wanted that number one overall pick. Is it smoke? Is it a lie? Is Tennessee set on either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders at the top? All of that will be discussed, DRS, in the next few weeks and months until late April in the NFL draft.
Absolutely, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But also understand this. There were a couple teams there in that top five that did themselves no favors over the final couple weeks of the season by winning meaningless football games, because that's about character and that's what you got to do. You take a look at the Patriots here. It's a shame because the Patriots had lost out like they were supposed to, had their quarterback, and then had, let's just say, the number one overall pick and could trade back one or two spots and grab a guy like Abdul Carter but pick up an additional first-round draft pick on top of that, yeah, they messed up. But they already have their quarterback, what they think, so fourth isn't too bad. The team that you look at, too, is the Giants at 3-14. The Giants are in desperate need of a future franchise quarterback, and we're projecting, Ben, there's two quarterbacks in this draft. So if you are in the third spot, yeah, you can get one of them if you trade up and give up draft capital, but they didn't do themselves any favor. The question is going to be here for the Titans. The reason why you stink and you're this high in the draft 9 times out of 10 is you have a quarterback that stinks and you need one for the future. So for the Titans, to me, I don't think you can actually enter and be like, hey, you know what? We like Cam Ward, but he's not the greatest quarterback. Let's trade back. Because what are you actually doing with your franchise? You're going to go out and get Sam Darnold and try to rebuild that way? Like, no. Like, I think Cam Ward is going to be a good NFL quarterback. And it's up to you with an offensive coach as your head coach to hone those skills. Because you're nothing without a future franchise quarterback. And we play it out so many times in our mind. Like, it's, hey, you can go at Matthew Stafford. Sure, he's going to be 37 years old and cost you $50 million a year. Or you can draft Cam Ward. He's at the top of the heap, and he counts like $5 million against your salary cap in the next 3 to 4 years. You build around him, and if he's a quarterback you think he could be, you can hit a home run and win a Super Bowl or make deep playoff runs on that low, low rookie schedule. So for me, I look at the Titans and the Browns and go, I don't know how you can trade out when you need a quarterback of the future. You got to take him at that point, which then the Giants, the Patriots, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Jets, if they're trying to move up, it's going to get expensive.
It's all part of that conversation, DRS. Are the Titans and the Browns sold on either of these two top quarterback prospects? Miami's Cam Ward, Colorado's Shedeur Sanders. There will be others in consideration for an early round draft pick, whether that's a first round pick, a top 15 pick, a top 10 pick, or maybe even day number two. We know there will be a quarterback throughout this process that is highlighted and looked at rather fondly. Could it be Ole Miss's Jackson Dart, Syracuse's Kyle McCord, Alabama's Jalen Milroe, so on and so forth. But it really does seem to be a two quarterback class, at least, I would say, bare minimum in the top 10. Maybe a third quarterback somewhere in the first round. And you would think then that is tailor-made for two franchises that are in desperate need of a quarterback, Tennessee and Cleveland. Yeah, the Browns still have to pay Deshaun Watson. He's not the answer, might not even play in 2025. Tennessee has no answer right now on the roster at the quarterback position, especially with Brian Callahan entering his second year as the head coach. He's an offensive mind. Do you want to give him the tools even to maybe present himself as an NFL head coach? Is Mike Borgonski like, listen, guy, I would have never hired you if I was the GM. So we're moving back. We're getting Abdul Carter, and we're going to go 2-15 and fire you at the end of this year. I love the idea, Donnie, that I've heard from some Giants fans. Really shouldn't have beaten the Colts, but we did. So we'll just pass the buck down the road and we'll tank for Arch Manning. Like it's a guarantee that the Giants end up with the number one overall pick if they stink this season. They stunk this past year and they're drafting third overall. I am of belief, if you need a quarterback, go and get that quarterback. Because if you swing and miss, hey, at least you took the opportunity. But you better be able to evaluate. And right now, it would seem to me, the Titans and the Browns should go quarterback and quarterback 1-2.
Yes, and if you do swing and miss on your quarterback, what's that mean? You stink again that season, and you can make a decision. Don't you remember the Arizona Cardinals? Hey, man, Rosen looks like our future. Now we think he stinks. Oh, look at this. We're going to draft another quarterback in Kyler Murray who would be better. That's how it's done here. Until you have a quarterback, you don't have a football team. It's simple.
Sam Darnold, huge swing and miss in New York. Might be back with the Jets this offseason. NBA talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you back to this Monday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. All-Star Weekend, a thing of the past. The first weekend after the All-Star break in the NBA was a big one, with a big 10-game Sunday slate around the association. So joining us here for the final half hour of this second hour, it's our coach, J.Y. James Young, live right here on this Monday. We start in the association, some big picture questions, and then we'll get to college basketball and recap a ginormous weekend fewer than 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. J.Y., as always, a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to join us here on TEL.
there's no better way to start my week than talking to Ben Stevens. I don't know about Donnie, but it's good to talk to Ben this early.
Well, J.Y., it could have been better. You could have woken up on this Monday with a victory Monday. If your New York Knicks could actually beat a team that had a pulse in the NBA, something the Knicks have failed to do this season, including yesterday afternoon inside the home of the reigning champs, that would be TD Garden in Boston, as the Celtics win 118-105. The Seas cover as a 7.5-point home favorite. J.Y., we'll talk big picture in just a moment. Yesterday, though, for the New York Knicks, despite basically every starter still playing 35-plus minutes, even in a rout in Beantown, what was the issue for New York? Why were the Celtics able to dominate at home in Beantown?
Well, simply put, New York's defense is a hot mess. The ability to defend a thing. When you are New York and you spent a lot of capital, particularly for Mikal Bridges, who had 4 points until some garbage bucket in the late, you know, fourth quarter, you got Mikal and OG, simply put, to line yourself up as two perimeter, I was told and thought, big-time defenders to go against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And what happened? Two of them combined to shoot 19 for 41. They combined to make 5 3-pointers, 49 points. And now that's a hole you can't get out of. So to me, you know, New York is going to be judged on Mitchell Robinson. This is going to be a lot of pressure on this kid, a guy that has not stayed healthy, a guy that really has no impact offensively except for the offensive boards. A lot is going to be put on this kid's plate to be the savior. He can't be the savior. The other four got to play better defense, particularly OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges. And at some point, what are we getting from this bench? A bench that's been terrible. They didn't make any trades at the trade deadline. 15 points for that entire bench unit. Precious Achiuwa gives you a goose egg. If Precious Achiuwa can't give you more than a rebound, sorry, Precious, you shouldn't play at all. They got to figure out this bench. They got to get OG and Mikal better. And most importantly, come playoff time, they better defend, because any team that's good on both sides of the ball, Boston, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, Knicks have been smoked all 7 times.
Yeah, you take a look at also yesterday, Miles McBride, 27 minutes. Congratulations on his 2 points there, being ineffective when that's one of those guys that's supposed to fill it up off of the bench. But also, Coach, let me talk to you about this, because we know the Knicks are talented. They're 37-20. It's not a bad season by any stretch. They're just not beating the upper echelon teams. But when I talk about gas in the tank, Coach, why do we have to play everybody 40 minutes every single night on a night-to-night basis? And how's that going to turn out for him?
Like every team that Tibbs turns out over his career? Crash and burn at some point, and right now they're crashing and burning. You know, I was thinking about it. Guys, if you remember, a different team, 21-22, everybody was big on the Chicago Bulls, right? Remember the Bulls? Lonzo was healthy. DeRozan, Levine, they were pretty good. And they played any top team in East or West, and they got smoked, boat raced every single time. This is the Knicks team right now. They're a very good team, and I'm a Knicks fan. You can't look at there and say, this team can win a championship. They're not good enough. They're not good enough defensively. They're inconsistent at times in their effort. They have no bench. They have issues there in New York. So are we the New York Knicks or are we the New York Fugazis? Because forget about it, they don't look good when they play the top teams in the NBA.
Family-friendly program, and if you know Fugazi, that might not be the nicest word. But anyway, J.Y., as we look at what Donnie was alluding to, the record, 37-20. Still very comfortably in the 3 spot in the Eastern Conference standings. That would be hosting at least one playoff series come the postseason. But what really is concerning in terms of that updated outlook is an 0-7 mark against the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Thunder. The 3 best records around the NBA, the 3 NBA teams so far that have reached at least the 40-win benchmark. And yet a 15-1 price on the Knicks. It's the 5th best around the association. So if it's not a championship contending team at this instant, what is the ceiling for the New York Knicks as constructed, even with the addition of Mitchell Robinson, hopefully within the next week or so for the Knickerbockers?
This may be a crazy take. If I'm the Knicks, I don't want the 3 seed. I don't want Boston. I mean, I think the Knicks could have a a sliver of hope versus Cleveland because of the fact that they've beaten Cleveland up in the playoffs last year. Mitchell Robinson seems to give Jared Allen and Evan Mobley fits on the offensive boards. So to me, if I'm the Knicks, I know this sounds crazy. That four seed looks a hell of a lot better. So if you get to the four seed, then you think it, maybe you could sneak by Cleveland, get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and lose to Boston in a competitive series, something that would say would be six games. That would be good for them. If they're 2-3 and it's Boston, that's not good. That's night-night. Because even though they tried to go get and to continue with just OG and Mikal, go and get Karl-Anthony Towns, another version of Kristaps Porzingis as that stretch five to bring you outside, Boston's just a better version of New York. Basically, 1-5, and the bench, and the coach. So to me, if you're New York, honestly, if you want to make the Eastern Conference Finals, Ben, you got to go through Cleveland because you can't get through Boston.
Yeah, and you take a look at the NBA odds, too, to win the championship here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's pretty clear. It's the Boston Celtics plus 170 price, the OKC Thunder at plus 210. But then that's my squad, the Cavs, at a plus 750 price. Coach, talk to me about the Cavs at the plus 750 price. But also, is there anybody else on that odds board you feel is getting a little disrespected by those odds?
What happened? Joel Embiid get hurt and you just jumped off the 76er trade that quickly? Okay, well, let's Donnie's throw up a front runner there. But when you look at the East, you had what Cleveland has done, okay? And I think it leads to what J.B. Bickerstaff needs to get some credit, right, for developing that young team. He just wasn't good in the playoffs. The fact that they could beat you so many different ways, Donnie, and I think the DeAndre Hunter trade is going to pay off more than people think. It allows Kenny to play different ways by going big 3-4-5 or go smaller and put him at the power forward spot for Mobley or Allen, which also, ready for this, Tibbs, it brings their minutes down a little bit now because you could move these guys around a little bit. Listen, Cleveland's been a great story, obviously, what they're doing. But when you look out west, I got to say this. I had fun Saturday night doing the show with Kevin Walsh, but it is not fun doing a Laker game when the Lakers play well. You want to talk about 2.5 hours of pain.
Fraud.
You want to talk about a front runner. Maybe we should talk about Knox. I don't want to do it in the K-Dub, but you know what I mean. Lakers will be interesting. I won't do it. Lakers will be interesting to play, but guys, I know they lost Saturday. I like Houston as a little surprise team, but everything's going to be based off of matchup, guys. Who plays who in the playoffs will dictate who can go far.
It's a really good point, Jay Wine. The standings right now in the Western Conference are pretty cut and dry at the top. OKC has a 9.5 game lead over both the Grizzlies and the Nuggets. The Lakers and the Rockets, same win percentage at this moment, or around the same number, 34-21 for LA. One fewer win, but one fewer loss than that of Houston, trying to battle in that 4-5 spot for who would get home for advantage in a potential opening round matchup. A lot to be determined out west that will factor in to those odds. We'll talk college basketball on the other side of the break with JY up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a weekend of college basketball it was at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, for a reason. As JY is back with us for a second consecutive segment on a Sunday afternoon, a garden party where St. John's was making a statement that the best in the Big East now resides in Queens. An 89-75 victory, JY, for the Johnnies over the two-time reigning college basketball champions in UConn. 89-75, again, that victory for the Red Storm, covering as a 3.5-point favorite inside Madison Square Garden. On a Sunday, JY, what statement did St. John's make with that dominant and impressive victory over UConn?
Well, it's good for one team, basketball team, that plays in Madison Square Garden to show up Sunday afternoon. Ben, what you saw is everything that you wanted to see out of St. John's. Number one, people aren't giving Devion Smith enough credit. with that 12.8 assist performance, really being able to create shot opportunities for other guys. What does that allow? That allows Kadari Richmond become that Swiss Army knife, a guy that can play on the ball, play off the ball, the best $1.5 million that St. John's has spent in a long, long time. But, Ben, it's more than that. It's the fact that you can have five guys in double figures, even when R.J. Lewis is coming back, not playing while shooting off 4-for-18. Ejiofor is an absolute load, a load down low to deal with. But the key thing, Ben, and the main number is 42.1. That's what St. John shot from three. They were red hot in the first half, scoring, I do believe, 50 points. St. John's and Rick Pitino's talked about at length that their guys, particularly Wiltshire and Smith, have struggled from the three-point line. Now, obviously, Wiltshire did not hit from three, but if St. John's can shoot the ball well from three, the way they're constituted with the shot creativity, with their defense, with the number of guys that can beat you, if they can make enough threes, Ben, their defense should be enough to, based off the matchups, it should be interesting at MSG for the Big East tournament because it was loud at the Garden yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a good long stretch. They only lost to Villanova by 2 points, which was on the road. But I think you bring up some pretty good points, Coach, because we pulled a clip from Rick Pitino earlier in the show where he said, you know what? We got to change our tendencies getting late in the season here and also heading into conference tournament play and also March Madness because teams are watching 20 to 25 games. Okay, we can do this, we can do that. Because if you're looking at three-point shot made, 30% as a team, which is 336 in the country, but also more importantly, volume of three-point shots, they're 340th in the country at that. Do you think that they can find some gold here from the three-point line moving forward as one of those adjustments Rick Pitino was talking about?
They could be. You know, Aaron Scott's starting to be a guy that's starting to shoot the ball a little bit more from three as well. They have to make threes, right? They have to make threes because they are so dynamic on the glass and they're so dynamic off the bounce that as you get into these lanes, especially with guys like Smith and Richmond guys that can create, you got to have guys that can step up and knock down threes. It's simply put, folks, and I'm going to say this. St. John's run in March in a tournament is going to be exclusively based off of matchups. I'm saying this right now, besides Auburn and Duke, name a team right now that's playing better basketball arguably than St. John's. And if they can get the bracket right, if they can get it right and get to Providence, first two rounds, Newark as maybe a two or three seed, in regards to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, because you figure Auburn's going to be South or South Midwest. They're sending those two teams those ways. It's the West and the East. If St. John's can stay away from those two teams and stay in the Northeast with that crowd that's going to follow him and back him, and I don't care that Spike Lee is a front runner. He was there yesterday, and everybody else will show up because that's what we do in New York. When you win, you show up. St. John's with the right draw. With the right draw, can honestly make a Final Four run.
It will be very matchup dependent for the Johnnies, the second most efficient defense in the country. If the offense performs as it did yesterday, very few teams play better basketball than the Red Storm. That is what Rick Pitino has meant to reinvigorate this program. You saw the odds there. That 25-1 price is eighth best around the country to cut down the nets exactly 6 weeks from tonight in San Antonio as a national champ. A team, of course, JY, that knows very well what that means. The two-time reigning champions in the Connecticut Huskies going for the three-peat this year. Hasn't been all smooth sailing. Now 18-990 overall record for UConn. Still going to be in the big dance. Still can get hot at the right time in the month of March. And they have been overwhelmingly dominant in their last two trips throughout the tournament. What is the biggest difference that you see, JY, with this year's UConn team as compared to the previous two that won a national championship?
Talent. Talent. I mean, if you listen, a good friend of mine always said it, throw the coaching out the window. You got players, you got a chance. You don't have the players, you have less of a chance. So when you look at them, you know, McNeely's been up and down, he's been better. I really thought Caravan, Diarra, Johnson would have taken big jumps. They've been kind of up and down. They don't have the senior leadership. They also don't have some guy named Don McClingan or Adonis Sanogo manning the pivot, which is a huge, huge reason for their success. I still can't write off Dan Hurley's team, because if you really peel back, yes, they have 9 losses, right? You take away that wild game at Seton Hall, and you take away that run that they when he lost 3 straight in Maui, they don't have bad losses. At Villanova is not terrible. Losing to Creighton is not terrible. Losing at Xavier is not terrible. They don't have bad losses. So if they get it right, and Dan will muster up, they'll make a run. The issue is, and Dan's talked about it, he has to change his ways because they're so young and so inexperienced. He just can't ride them like usual because they don't have the maturity to deal with that.
Of course, it's always about playing your best basketball in the biggest moments, in that March momentum on the horizon for UConn. But they are going to factor in to the NCAA tournament. We'll probably be an 8, 9, 10 seed. That would be a very scary opening round matchup and maybe a round of 32 game for a lot of teams because of the pedigree that Dan Hurley's Huskies do have. They are not the national champs for the past 2 years, but they still can make some noise come March. From Sunday at MSG to a Saturday night at the Garden. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we have said, a big weekend of college basketball inside the world's most famous arena. Sunday, it was St. John's, the Big East game of the year, with a huge victory. On Saturday night, a rare non-conference matchup at this stage of the season between the Big Ten's Illinois Fighting Illini and from the ACC, the number 3 team in the country in Duke. And let me just tell you, it was all Duke on Saturday night. A 43-point win for the Blue Devils, 110-67. The largest neutral site victory for Duke since the early 50s when they first joined the ACC, at least dating back to that season. Largest margin of defeat for the Illini in program history as well. JY, how did it get so out of hand? And what did Duke prove to you on Saturday night in MSG?
That them and Auburn are the class of college basketball, right now. When you looked at that performance, what I was impressed with was a couple of things. Offensively, their spacing and their ability to continue to move. People move, not just ball movement, right? The ability to come off screen, cut, backdoor cuts. They're extremely unselfish. They do not play like a team that has, 3 freshmen in the starting lineup? They play so smart and such fundamental basketball. And when you look at a team that young, that has, ready, folks? 28 assists to 40 field goals, and only have 6 turnovers. I only think they had 2 in the first half. They beat Illinois down like no one's business. And what you saw from them is an ability to get to the rim. And if they didn't get to the rim and finish, they have 2 monster centers that could just scoop up every offensive rebound. I think at one point, Ben, in the first half, Duke had like 14 missed shots and like 10 offensive rebounds, which is an absurd number. When you're over 35-40%, that's nuts. They were at 70. They could do everything right, and then you get to the defensive end of the floor, which they clamp you down, they force you to take bad shots, and Illinois shooting 2 of 26 from 3 on Saturday night surely did not help them.
Certainly not. And you take a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at some of the odds here to cut down the Nets. Auburn at a plus 340 price. Right behind them, Duke currently now at a plus 370 price. Are those two to you, Coach, the clear-cut favorites? And also, who is getting your attention here for some of the rest of the teams here looking to win a championship?
Well, it's obviously those two. You know, when you look at Houston, you know, it was an up-and-down performance, even though they held Iowa State under 60 points. T.J. Hassenberger, if they can get those two guys back healthy, they've been not healthy all year. At 18-1, they have the defense to do it. And with Gilbert and Jones, I think is the other kid, 31 points per game that was missing on Saturday, they could make their mark. We talked about it before. St. John's, it's all matchups. Guys, it's all matchups. Stay away from Auburn. Stay away from Duke. You stay away from them as long as possible. You give yourself a chance because at that point, guys, after those two, maybe Houston, any of those teams can knock off someone else besides those top two teams.
There's a lot of value there. There is no doubt about it. But there is a reason that Auburn and Duke have that short of a price. We'll talk to Jani Broome and the Tigers maybe at a later moment. But after Duke scored 110 on Saturday night, JY, you look at this team led by Cooper Flagg and plenty of other talented freshmen in the lineup as well. Freshmen, despite what their ceiling might be for the NBA and beyond, not necessarily a proven recipe of success come March Madness. Does this Duke team feel different? Do you believe the Blue Devils, as currently constructed, can win a national championship?
Yes, because of the fact that they can defend. And when, Ben, when you have freshmen, and I can say this as a college coach, you recruit them for their offensive prowess, right? You hope that they can figure out the defensive side of the ball. And all three of those kids can defend. And when you have arguably the number one draft, not arguably, the number one draft pick is your best defender, it makes it really easy for all those other kids to fall in line. And that is what's most impressive about Cooper Flagg is his passing and his defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And a lot of veteran presence around them as well. Tyrese Proctor has been there for a while. Mason Gillis was a part of a Purdue team that made a run to a national championship. Malik Brown has been consistent dealing with some injuries at this moment. But Duke does have the stuff. There is no doubt about it. JY, we appreciate the time as always. Hour number three up next.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.